Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning the sometimes difficult lesson to grasp that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. The message is called All Sufficient Grace, so let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as we go back to basics.
And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We all suffer in this life, and some suffer more than others. This is true even of those who serve the Lord. But is suffering necessarily a sign of God's displeasure? Or is there actually a divine purpose behind it? Here in our text, the Apostle Paul shares something with us about his own sufferings and the things that the Lord revealed to him in response to his cries for deliverance. And I believe that here in these verses, there are words of great encouragement for us too. So let's look at these verses together. But first, we need to just get the setting. We need to get the background. The Corinthian church was a problematic church. They were very, very influenced by the world, very impressed with things human. They were very impressed with human intellect and the ability to articulate. And they were very impressed with human strength and wisdom and those kinds of things. And Paul addresses all of those issues in the various epistles, the two epistles that he wrote to them. They had succumbed to some of the false teachers who had come in suggesting that Paul wasn't really an apostle, that he didn't really have the insight and the authority that he claimed. And they would put the Apostle Paul down in order to elevate themselves. And, unfortunately, the Corinthians bought into it. This forced the Apostle Paul to do something that he did not want to do. But, reluctantly, he had to end up what he called boasting about himself and about his ministry. But in the end, what you find he actually did was he simply boasted in the Lord. But he asked questions. Are they apostles? He said, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. And he went down a list, and then he went on and he showed them how his ministry was far more impactful and far more successful than theirs were, although it was riddled with affliction and with suffering. And then he tells them about an experience that evidently he hadn't really shared with many people. He tells them about an experience of actually having been caught up to heaven, to the very presence of the Lord. This probably took place when Paul was stoned in Lystra and dragged out of the city, and they considered him to be dead, and he might very well have been dead temporarily. And he tells them, I knew a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And he said, and there he saw things that are inexpressible. Things that it would not be lawful for a man to try to communicate in human language. And so this is the background to the statement here in verse 7. And so it's this abundance of revelation that Paul had. Not only the revelation that he had as an apostle into the truth of the gospel and all of the implications of the gospel, but that truth that was revealed to him while he was there in the presence of the Lord in heaven. And so he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. So that's what he's talking about. That's the background. So he goes on to say this. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. What was this thorn in the flesh for Paul? And what might this be today for some of us who might have a similar kind of thing? Well, Paul doesn't tell us exactly what it was. He does tell us the source of it. He says it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. He doesn't tell us exactly what it was, but I believe that it was more than likely some sort of a chronic physical infirmity that the apostle had. In many places, he alludes to the fact that he was physically weak and infirmed. He alludes to the fact that he had some sort of a chronic physical condition. Now, some people have mistakenly interpreted the thorn in the flesh to be some sort of a besetting sin. A besetting sin is a sin that a person continues to stumble into. That is not what the apostle was talking about. He's not talking about having a habit of sin in his life he can't break. He's talking about something that's coming against him from the outside, something that's actually being done to him by Satan. In verse 10, he speaks of infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses, harassments. These are the kinds of things that he is talking about. He's speaking about anything that would weaken a person and put them at a disadvantage in their efforts to serve the Lord. He's speaking about having sort of a handicap. Now you know Paul was a man of great passion. He was a man of great vision. He was a man of great faith. And he was a man who wanted to get the gospel out as far and wide as he possibly could. But he also finds that he has this frustrating thing that's going on in his life. He has this thing that seems to be hindering him. It seems to be limiting him. It seems to be keeping him back from his full potential in ministry. It's this thorn in the flesh. It's this weakness. It's this sickness, probably, that would slow him down and drag him down and interfere with the things that he wanted to do for the Lord. You know, when you read the biographies of great men and women of faith, this is what you find is the case with many of them. I recommend reading unabridged biographies because the shorter biographies usually just highlight all of the great points and never let you know about the downside of their lives and ministry, the struggles, the conflicts, the battles, and so forth. But what you find in the lives of the great men and women who have served the Lord over the years, you find a similar kind of a thing. You find that many of them, although they had great spiritual power, they were afflicted physically. You think of a person like Martin Luther or Charles Spurgeon or William Carey, the great missionary to India, or John Wesley. And as you look at the lives of these men who have had such an impact historically on the world and the church, you find that they were oftentimes afflicted. They oftentimes lived with chronic bodily pain or mental affliction and things of that nature. What is the explanation for that? I think it's the same thing that Paul is talking about here. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, what Paul didn't know, but came to know through the Lord speaking to him, is that this thing was necessary. And not only was it necessary, what Paul couldn't see, and what we so often can't see, is that this thing was actually a blessing in disguise. It was actually beneficial, even though it seemed detrimental. Now, Paul came to understand that, but I don't think he knew that initially. I think this is one of those things that he probably just could not understand at all why he was in this condition. And he tells us here that it was something that he prayed fervently about. He says that on three separate occasions, he pleaded with the Lord. Three separate occasions. And I believe that what Paul's describing here are three seasons of desperate prayer. He says, I pleaded with the Lord. I begged the Lord. I cried out to the Lord. Lord, you have got to deliver me from this. Lord, you've got to get this thing out of my life because it's keeping me back from all that I want to do for you. It's hindering me. It's slowing me down. You ever feel that way about something? Maybe there's a physical infirmity that's just there chronically dragging you down. Maybe there's a person in your life that you are connected to and can't get detached from, and that person is seemingly a constant hindrance to your service to the Lord. Maybe it's a situation that's just beyond your control. You can't sort out this thing, and it just is there, and it's always there, and it seems to be holding you back. Maybe it's a mental sort of an affliction, a depression or something like that, that just, you know, it just seems to be there, and you look at it and you think, this is a curse. This is horrible. And you might say, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, do you know how much better I could serve you if I didn't have this problem, this situation, this person? But you see, the Lord knows things that we do not know. And what the Lord reveals to Paul about this thorn in the flesh that he no doubt, like we would, thought was a big downer, what the Lord reveals to Paul is that this was actually for his benefit. This was a preventative measure on the part of God. You see, we don't know ourselves. We think we do. But we really don't know ourselves or the potential pitfalls that await us. But God knows. Oh, there have been things that I have been so frustrated over, and I've cried out to the Lord. And recently I had a situation like this where I was just crying out to the Lord about this particular thing. And I saw this particular situation as a curse and as something that wasn't right and something that was really hindering what God potentially could do. And just in a flash, the Lord showed me, you know what? I've done this for your protection. And suddenly I just thought, wow, I never thought of it like that. But as I thought through it, I realized, oh, Lord, thank you. You did do this for my protection. You see, we don't know ourselves. And that thing that we think is dragging us down, you know what? It's actually preventing us from being lifted up with pride, perhaps. Perhaps it's preventing us from being carried away into sin. You know, we would think, oh, I would never do that. I would never go in that direction. But we don't really know. Who would have ever thought that Paul would have a propensity for pride? He was a humble man. But yet God said, I've done this for your benefit. God could see that there was the potential for Paul to become lifted up over the abundance of the revelation. And so if we find ourselves in a situation like this, what is the answer? Well, of course, we pray about it. And we ask the Lord. And perhaps the Lord will deliver us at some point, maybe not immediately. But perhaps he will deliver us at some time. I think unless God has spoken to us specifically about something like this, we ought to continue to pray about it. I think we ought to pray about it all the time unless the Lord tells us otherwise. But you know, sometimes he will tell us otherwise. And that's what happened with the Apostle Paul. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Lord, take this thing away from me. This is slowing me down. This is holding me back. This is hindering me. This is interfering with the work that I want to do for you. And what was the response of Jesus to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, what Jesus said is, Paul, I'm not going to take this away from you. Instead of taking it away from you, I am going to give you the grace to live with it. I'm going to give you a sufficient amount of grace to deal with this situation. And Paul, what you're going to come to understand is that my strength is perfected in your weakness. Now, this is something, like many things in the Bible, that is not only paradoxical, two totally opposite kinds of ideas, but it's something that in our culture we despise. We despise weakness. We don't want to think about being weak, or, you know, nobody in their right mind would ever get up and boast about how weak they are. It's just not the way we do things. Paul was very candid. He was very open and honest about his weaknesses. He said to the Corinthians in the first epistle, he said, I came to you in fear and in trembling and in weakness. You know, if Paul was candidating to be the pastor of a mega church today, the moment he said something like that, they'd say, okay, that's not our man. We don't want any of that. Fear, trembling, weakness. We want strength. We want a leader. We want somebody that knows where they're going and what they're doing. You know, that's fine in the world. But it's not the way God does it in the kingdom. You see, because our strengths, believe it or not, they end up being our handicap when it comes to the things of the Spirit. God doesn't need my strength. How could the all-powerful God possibly need my strength? He doesn't need my strength. You know what he needs me to do? He needs me to get out of the way so he can exercise his strength. And you know what he does sometimes in order to accomplish that? He makes us weak. He makes us weak. He sends a messenger of Satan to buffet us. He brings something into our lives that seems to be a hindrance, that seems to be so opposite of what we think we need. But you see, he does it because his strength is made perfect in weakness. And as Paul went on to say, when I am weak, then I am strong. And notice the resolution. in verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul came to the point, and here's where you see Paul's maturity, he came to the point where he was able to finally embrace this thing. He was no longer resisting it. When the Lord made it clear to him, "Paul, I'm not going to take this from you. Instead, I'm going to give you grace to endure, and I'm going to use this weakness to demonstrate my strength," Paul said, "Okay, Lord, then I will rejoice in infirmities. I will rejoice in needs and persecution and affliction in these things, because, Lord, I see what you're doing. You're weakening me only so you can demonstrate your strength in and through my life." Now, this is challenging stuff. This is difficult. Even with the all-sufficient grace, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be challenging. I told Cheryl last night, I'm a bit reluctant to apply this so much to myself, but I feel compelled to do so. Because this ninth verse has become my life verse, not by choosing. Had I chosen a verse for my life verse, this would not be the verse I would choose. But due to circumstances beyond my control, this is, I would have to say, the verse that has marked my life for the past 25 years. In 1983, I had just turned 26 years old. I was on staff here as an intern pastor. I was a youth pastor. I was teaching the Monday evening Bible study here. And throughout the month of November and December of 82, I wasn't feeling well. But it wasn't like anything I'd ever experienced before. Up until that point, I had been a perfectly healthy person. Never really knew a day of sickness in my life apart from, you know, the typical stuff, a cold every now and again and so forth. But in November and December of 82, I began to feel weak, fatigued. I'll never forget going on a hospital call one time. And as I was standing there beside the bed, talking with the person and praying with them, in my mind I was thinking, "I wonder if there's any room in that bed. Could you scoot over?" I'm serious. That's how I felt. Now, you know, I'm 25 years old, and I turned 26 on the last day of the year. On January 4th, 1983, I came home that evening, and I said to Cheryl, I said, "You know what? Something's the matter with me. I do not feel right." And having said that, I collapsed on the floor, and I spent the next 3 months in bed. Went to the doctor several times, had a series of tests run. Basically, nobody could tell me. They could sense there was some sort of viral thing, but they had no idea what it was. And it was a time of weakness like I'd never, ever even imagined you could experience. I'd never had anything like it before. And there I was in this state of utter and complete weakness and confusion. The warfare was so intense back in those days, and the enemy was coming in and challenging everything I'd ever believed about anything. It was a time of great affliction.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from our study through the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called All Sufficient Grace, and the resource number is OBB476. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.